ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂತೋ 8 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 30 ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಗೋ ಆನ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 31 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 24 ಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಮತ್ಸ್ಯ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಫಿಶ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಸುಕ ವಾಚ ಇತಿ ಬ್ರುವಾನಂ ನೃಪತಿಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಸುಕ ವಾಚ ಇತಿ ಬ್ರುವಾನಂ ನೃಪತಿಂ ಜಗತ್ಪತಿ ಸತ್ಯವೃತಂ ಮತ್ಸ್ಯ ವಪುರ್ಯೂಗಕ್ಷಯೇ ವಿಹರ್ತು ಕಾಮ ಪ್ರಲಯಾರ್ನವೇ ಬ್ರವೇಶ್ ಚಿಕೀರ್ಷುರೇಕಾಂತ ಜನಪ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಿಯಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಸುಕ ಉವಾ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಬೈ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೆಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಸತ್ಯವ್ರತ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who at the end of the Yuga had assumed the form of a fish to benefit his devotee and enjoy his pastimes in the water of inundation, responded as follows. There is no purport to this verse, so we will chant the subsequent verses and translation. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಉವಾಚ ಸಪ್ತಮೇ ಹಿ ಅದ್ಯತನ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಂ ಅಹನೇತದ್ ಅರಿಂದಮಾ ನಿಮಾಂಕ್ಷತಿ ಅಪ್ಯ ಅಂಬೋಧೋ ತೈಲೋಕ್ಯಂ ಭೂರ್ಭುವಾಧಿಕಂ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಓ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಬ್ಡ್ಯೂ ಯೋರ್ ಎನಿಮೀಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಸೆವೆಂತ್ ಡೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟುಡೇ ದ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಭೂ ಭುವ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸ್ವ ವಿಲ್ ಆಲ್ ಮರ್ಜ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ವಾಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನಂಡೇಷನ್ ತ್ರಿಲೋಕ್ಯಂ ಲೀಯಮಾನಾಯಂ ಸಂವರ್ತಂ ವಸಿ ವೈತದಾ ಉಪಾಸ್ತಸ್ಯತಿ ನೌಕಾಚಿತ್ ವಿಶಲಾತ್ವಂ ಮಹೇರಿತಾ ವೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಮರ್ಜ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ವಾಟರ್ ಅ ಲಾರ್ಜ್ ಬೋಟ್ ಸೆಂಡ್ ಬೈ ಮೀ ವಿಲ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಯು ತ್ವಂ ತಾವದ್ ಓಷಿಧೈ ಸರ್ವ ಬಿಜನ್ಯ ಉಚ್ಚ ವಚಾನಿ ಚ ಸಪ್ತಶೀಭಿ ಪರಿವೃತ ಸರ್ವಸ್ವತೋಪಭ್ರಮಿತಃ ಆರುಹ್ಯ ಭೃತಂ ನಾವಂ ವಿಚರಿಷ್ಯಸಿ ಅವಿಕ್ಲವ ಏಕಾರ್ನಾವೇ ನಿರಾಲೋಕೆ ಋಷಿನಂ ಏವ ವರ್ಚಸ ದೇರ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಒ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಶಾಲ್ ಕಲೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹರ್ಬ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸೀಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಲೋಡ್ ದೆಮ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಬೋಟ್ ದೆನ್ ಅಕಂಪನಿಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಸೆವೆನ್ ರಿಷೀಸ್ And surrounded by all kinds of living entities, you shall get aboard that boat, and without moroseness, you shall easily travel with your companions on the ocean of inundation, the only illumination being the effulgence of the great rishis. Doduyamanam tam navam samirena balishyasa ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತಸ್ಯ ಮೇ ಶೃಂಗೇ ನಿಬದ್ನೀಹಿ ಮಹಾಹಿನಾ ದೆನ್ ಎಸ್ ದ ಬೋಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಟಾಸ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಬೈ ದ ಪವರ್ಫುಲ್ ವಿಂಡ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ದ ವೆಸಲ್ ಟು ಮೈ ಹಾರ್ನ್ ಬೈ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸರ್ಪೆಂಟ್ ವಾಸುಕಿ ಫಾರ್ ಐ ಶಾಲ್ ಬಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಬೈ ಯುವರ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಅಹಂ ತ್ವಂ ಋಷಿಭಿ ಸಾರ್ಧಂ ಸಹನಾವಂ ಉಧಾನ್ವತಿ ವಿಕರ್ಷನ್ ವಿಚರಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯಾವದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಿ ನಿಶಾ ಪ್ರಭೋ ಪುಲಿಂಗ್ ದ ಬೋಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಯು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ರಿಷೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇಟ್ ಓ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಶಾಲ್ ಟ್ರಾವೆಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವಾಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವಾಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಅಂಟಿಲ್ ದ ನೈಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ ಸ್ಲಂಬರ್ ಈಸ್ ಓವರ್ ಪರ್ಪಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ This particular devastation actually took place not during the night of Lord Brahma, but during his day, for it was during the time of Chakshusha Manu. Brahma's night takes place when Brahma goes to sleep. But in the daytime, there are 14 Manus, one of whom is Chakshusha Manu. Therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that although it was daytime for Lord Brahma, Brahma fell sleepy for a short time by the supreme will of the Lord. This short time is regarded as Lord Brahma's night. This has been elaborately discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The following is a summary of his analysis. Because Agastya Muni cursed Swayambhuva Manu, during the time of Swayambhuva Manu, a devastation took place. This devastation is mentioned in the Matsya Purana. During the time of Chakshusha Manu, by the supreme will of the Lord, there was suddenly another pralaya or devastation. This is mentioned by Markandeya Rishi in the Vishnu Dharmottara. At the end of Manu's time, there is not necessarily a devastation, but at the end of Chakshusha Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his illusory energy, wanted to show Satyavrata the effects of devastation. Srila Sridhara Swami also agrees with his opinion. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita says, Madhye manvantarasnyaiva mune sapan manum prati pralayosau bhabhuveti purane kvachidiryate ayam akashmiko jatash chakshushantare mano pralaya padmanabhasya lilayeti chakutrachit sarvamanvantarashyante pralayo nishitam bhavet vishnu dharmottare tvayetat markande nabashitam manorante layo nasti manave darshi mayaya vishnu neti bruvanestu swami bhirnai samanyate. Hare Krishna. Pulling the boat with you and all the rishis in it, O King, I shall travel in the water of devastation until the night of Lord Brahma's slumber is over. Om Agni. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So in this chapter entitled Matsya, the Lord's first incarnation, we have been hearing about supernatural type of activities. As we know, the Lord performs. By nature, of course, people like to hear something supernatural, isn't it? Most of the movies which are made in Hollywood are the most one which make money, and their box office is those who have that special effects and supernatural. Then why is it that people are not interested in hearing supernatural things happening here? This is also something, you know. The fish expanding in the ocean. Amazing things. But then once Jaya Advaita Maharaj was giving class here, so this question was, Maharaj, why is it? This Superman, 1, 2, 3, everyone, the hit. But why people are not same joy and pleasure, why not hearing this? So he said, a woman who has a paramour, if she is with the paramour, you know paramour, you understand what's a paramour, huh? Paramour means she is having some illicit affair with someone. Someone else, not with her legitimate husband. When she is with him, the last person she wants to hear about is her husband. Obviously, she would not like to hear about her husband. So similarly, we all jivas, our legitimate master is But when we are with material nature enjoying, this is the last thing. The degree we are attached and to hearing it, there will be no interest, or rather will be more fearful. Fearful that I will have to give up my... So anyway, of course, some other by Prabhupada's mercy, we have an opportunity to hear, and the association of devotees develop some taste and interest. So that's what we should be grateful. But anyway, in these several verses, it is said that after Satyavrat Muni, this was, you started glorifying you, the Lord, you know, your greatness. So here he is saying that there will be a devastation. He is warning the king that there will be inundation, there will be pralaya, that means destruction. But then, you don't worry. I will come in the form of a fish. And then, I mean, I will. There will be a boat. There will be a boat coming. When there is inundation, means everything will be merging, no? And here it is said that this is not the proper inundation. This is just during the daytime of Brahma. Maybe he went into some type of a slumber, and but still there was a pralaya. But then what you do is you carry all these herbs and seeds and the rishis and Brahminical culture and what, put it on the boat. And then you connect it, when I will come in the form of a fish to the horn through Vasuki, and I will guide you in this difficult time to proper destination. So what we can understand is the Lord is very compassionate. This is how these numerous avatars have come. In the history there are several avatars, but the bottom line of all avatar is compassion. When the Lord comes down, it is only out of compassion. Compassion for living entities who have forgotten Him. He may come to establish some religious principle, He may come to protect devotees, He may come to give pleasure to our devotees, He may come to remind by His form, by His qualities, by His activities. But the whole purpose is compassion. That's what Lord is merciful. So He comes down. So this is again another aspect or dimension of the Lord coming in the form of Matsya to protect. Now protect what? Protect transcendental knowledge. Now what is transcendental knowledge? Why we talk about transcendental knowledge? Because in this world there are numerous knowledges. Out of that transcendental knowledge, how transcendental knowledge is different, because transcendental knowledge is sublime. What do we mean by sublime? Sublime is something which touches our heart. It has got that substance. It can transform our heart. Not only that, this knowledge can connect us to our eternal relationship. It can transcend beyond material modes of nature. It can transcend beyond birth, death, old age and disease. It is so pure. This is the only thing really needed in the world. But if that gets destroyed, and that will happen, it happens. In the course of time, it has happened and it will happen, and it is happening. When that happens, the Lord comes back again and again. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya duskritinam, dharma samstapakaya, yughe yughe sambhavam yughe. He has been coming again and again just to protect it. How important it is that it should be protected. But then the nature of this material world is such that wherever there is this type of knowledge, there is always an illusory power attacking from all sides. To just to minimize it, destroy it, compromise it, manipulate it, give some perverted opinions, concoct it, so many things can happen. So this is history, and here as Matsya Avatar is coming to protect it. This is Lord's nature. So we have heard this in the past, even when the Lord appeared here, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord was present. But again, during his time, there were so many Vedic scholars. They knew inside out about the Shastras. But there was not a single devotee that time. No one knew the real essence. So he had to establish the principles of what is bhakti. So he had to re-establish something which is lost. Of course, then we know our His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how he was a crusader, how he used to fight, how he used to expose, how he used to cut off. So every time there is some type of a minimization, there is always the Lord comes in the form, not necessarily himself, but he may come inspiring his devotees to go and re-establish again. So this is history. So just going back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, how even during those days, how the caste system so much prevalent that, you know, those who are Goswamis or those who are Brahmins or those who are real scholars, they had the monopoly that this is what is dharma. The problem is that in the course, usually, by nature, people like to be known as very pious people. But then, to accept the standards and principles and to live, that is not so easy. But then to be known as a pious person and to make a livelihood out of it and to gain prestige, that becomes a trend. In that state, all of them get misled. So things which is not religion will appear like religion and people will follow. So there is one, of course, every one of you heard this, just to repeat that how intense it was. There was this one devotee called Subodhi Rai. How he was a noble person, he was a respected servant in the government. So he had one young boy as a servant. And he really cared for him. He had so much affection for him. But he was born in a family which was not definitely Brahmin family. So out of his affection, he sometimes used to spank him, to correct him, beat him. So when he grew up, this boy, by some will of providence, he attained some higher position in the government. He nearly became a king. So his wife, his begum, when she saw a scar on his body, so she asked him, "What is this scar on your body?" So he was very happy to be reminded because he had so much respect for Subodhi Rai. He considered him as his father. Oh, he said, you know, I used to do some mischief and out of affection he used to correct me and he had beaten me and this is a scar. Now she could not tolerate that. As a wife, she thought that this is my husband's body, it's for me. So how can there be any scar on it? So now you are in this position, you should order him to be killed. Just imagine someone who have taken care of you, so much affection, and now this boy who has become a king, he has to decide, he was in a dilemma that he was attached to his wife because she threatened him, if you don't do it, then I would leave you. I will go. So he didn't wanted her to leave. He didn't wanted him to be killed. So he thought about one thing, so that was very prevalent that those days. He said, I will socially kill him. So what did he do? Socially kill means what? He sprinkled water from an untouchable person. He sprinkled water on Subodhi Rai. The caste system was so intense those days. As soon as people came to know that Subodhi Rai has been sprinkled from the pot of a water carried by an untouchable, they outcasted him. he could not enter temple, he could not chant mantras, no Vedas, completely outcasted. You are no more an Hindu. So this was his problem. So he asked people that, what should I do? Is there any type of a tapasya or some yagya I could do, some prayaschita I could do? Please tell me something. So all the scholars and the brahmanas and rishis, there is no solution. Finished. Your life is over. You can't do anything. Now you're gone. Your caste is gone. So one sadhu, he said, I have a solution for you. What you do is you take ghee and you boil this ghee that it literally becomes, you know, dark, a little blackish. And you drink that ghee. He said, if I drink that ghee, I will die. Yes, that's what I want. You will die. But because you will die drinking ghee, which is very pure, during your death, you will become purified and you will take birth as an Hindu. So this was what was prevalent. Imagine. See the same knowledge coming down, but then same people who are scholars of Vedas, who know Vedas inside out, but then how it gets concocted for their own selfish interest. So Subhadri Rai, by chance, he just went on. He was completely, you know, shattered. What will happen? So he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is no problem. What you do is just chant the holy name and do Vaishnava Seva. So he took that instruction to his heart. He went to Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, he has to make a livelihood, no? Yeah. So what he has to do is he goes to the forest. In the forest, all those branches and, you know, twigs which would be down anyway, fallen, he would pick them up, go to the market and sell and make some money. See, livelihood is so complicated otherwise, you know. It is so difficult. Yes, Shyam Gopal Prabhu, what do you think? How much you make, it's always less. So complicated. So much it takes away all your energy and time. And here, so simple to make a livelihood, because that's what he needed. He said, this much money I need. He goes to the market, he sells it. But with that money, he had not forgotten that instruction. He said, what should he do with that money? So with that money, what he should do is, there were devotees who will come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers would come to Vrindavan, and they were all Bengalis. And when they used to come to Vrindavan, they will be fed rotis. Because in Vrindavan, only rotis are served. And they, because being Bengalis, they would not be able to digest. They would like rice. So Subhadri Rai would prepare nice rice for them. You will get yogurt for them. He would serve them. He will massage them. He'll take care of them. He'll keep them so much happy. He will take them around for parikrama. He'll tell them leelas. And this way he lived his life, and he became such a powerful Vaishnava. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told him that you just do this, you will be better than a Brahmana. What to speak about all this Brahmanical culture and caste and this? You will become a Vaishnava. People will respect you, will adore you, worship you, and you can also help many more people. So this way Subhadri Rai, he had later in his life, he was associating and he was in the eternal pastimes of all the Shad Goswamis. So how important it is to understand what is the essence and how to protect it, how to see that unless there is a proper acharya, in the course of time, everything gets destroyed. Once Jayadeth Maharaj was saying that you keep eyes out in the summer, what do you expect the eyes to become? It has to melt. To anything good, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, it is very natural that the standards will go down. It is very natural. Unless there is a real determined effort and sincerity to push it and, you know, keep it, because the forces, illusory forces, are so strong, so strong. So similarly, during Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, he was again a very powerful. How we wanted to protect? Because he said, I don't care what caste a person belongs, what sex he belongs, what birth he is from. I just want to know what attitude he has. If he has that spirit of serving, he wants to serve as Krishna, the Supreme Personality, and that mood he extends, considers himself that I am a servant, which is a nature, well, that is the qualification. So he would see a person's consciousness. He would not see from what background he has come from. He said, that is transcendental knowledge. Then he can give that to others because he is in that mood. So it is not just scholarly knowledge. Then it is obviously our attitude, our consciousness, how we see it. But then, just like history of course repeats, so again during those days, these powerful Goswamis and these scholars and these Brahmanas, and they were so envious. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very popular among the innocent people, but he was hated by people who were real Vedic scholars, and these scholars were Krishna Bhaktas. They were worshipping Krishna. They were saying, we are devotees of Krishna. But their standard was not up to the mark. So they would be very envious. Prabhupada would say once, that Prabhupada said that his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told him once in private, he said that during my time, I was also threatened to be killed. Imagine the power of envy. You lose your intelligence. Now everyone knew that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a great sadhu. So these same people, because they could not live up to that standard, they could not live up to those principles, but they still wanted to maintain that prestige, that, and make a livelihood and, you know, continue. And this is what is dharma, and carry on. Because it was threatened, they paid one police officer 25,000 rupees. Now imagine those days, 25,000 rupees. They paid and told him that you should kill him. And who told this? They were devotees, one says, trying to destroy someone. So this police officer, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, usually when we accept this money, when we receive 25,000 rupees, in the past we have done it, what we do is we kill. Because when we have received the money, we fulfill it. We do it. Because you have been such a great sadhu, so we are here just to warn you that you have been surrounded by these type of people who can kill you. So it is very natural that wherever there is something, no transcendental knowledge, there will be an illusory power, very, very powerful. What to speak about Kali Yuga? It is said that Kali Yuga is like, you know, transcendental knowledge means carrying a lamp, you know, when there is cyclone. If you're not properly, this thing is going to get extinguished. So powerful. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj himself in his life, several times he had to confront. You know, like in his own Gaudiya Sampradaya, we all receive in Gayatri Mantra, we also receive Gaura Mantra. Gaura Mantra also is there. So these people who are Krishna Bhakta, they said, this is the proof that your Sampradaya is bogus. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the Supreme Personality. He was just a saint, maybe a devotee. And you are worshipping him and also deity worship of him. That means your Sampradaya is bogus. And plus, obviously, in your Gayatri Mantra, actually Gayatri Mantra is meant to worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But you are including that means it is bogus. So he invited them for a gathering meeting. So he said that from Chaitanya Bhagavat, he said from scriptures that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Radha Krishna form. Few of them, he showed to Nityananda, he showed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he showed to Ramananda Rai, he showed to Murari Gupta as Ramachandra. He showed these forms. So when he said that, they said, oh, that is from your Gaudiya scriptures. Where is it said in Vedas? Show us in Vedas, where does it say? And then he had to show from Atharva Veda and Srimad Bhagavatam and all other. Then he proved him, because this was also all over India. All over India, this had spread like an epidemic that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not. Because it was, he's maybe a sannyasi, a devotee. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati again had to fight and to re-establish. There is one more thing which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had to fight is against Sahajiyas. You know what Sahajiya is? Sahajiya is again a concept, or not, I don't know what it's called, a concept, or it is something very seriously taken in India where people are devotees, but they are not interested in living up to the standard. They prematurely, they show signs of as if they are very advanced. For example, if a mango is raw, it has to only become ripe. To become ripe, you have to wait. You have to keep in proper place. But if you go on beating that raw mango and say that, see, the juice is coming and now it is ripe. So that is Sahajiya. You're not ripe. But then you're showing signs that not willing to accept basic knowledge, huh? Not willing to accept some standards, some process and living accordingly. But then showing signs of, you know, all those feelings of, you know, trembling or crying or weeping or saying that, you know, this is what is the Leela. So there was one such Sahajiya, he had thousands of disciples. And he was preaching this. And he also was talking about Vedas. He was talking about Shastra. But his inner mood was Sahajiya. So once he came to visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like, he would of course always respect everyone. He will receive everyone. So this sadhu, Sahajiya, was very well respected. So people would come and touch his feet, offer obeisances. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was a young boy. He would not offer respect. So he noticed it. So he asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how is it that your son, everyone is offering, why is he not offering respect to me? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, because he hates Sahajiyas. So of course, we don't hate. I mean, devotees usually don't hate anyone. But it was so prevalent those days. So he hated that disease which was there within. And he was spreading it like an epidemic. So people were getting influenced by that. And people were accepting that this is what is real dharma. This is bhakti. This is devotion. So in the name of devotion, everything going on wrong. So he had to re-establish all these type of things. So just to, in short, that how transcendental knowledge, if it is not protected, how in the course of time it goes down. Once, I think here itself in our temple, it was a warning to all of us here also. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said that by some divine arrangement, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have received something. It's not that we are some qualified, but we have received something. We have something special because people say we have something. But then if you are not very careful, he said this place can also be a place for just social gathering. So there is always a tendency to the standards, if it goes down, it's a big responsibility. But then it's natural because the forces are so strong.
Srila Prabhupada was once with Harisauri Prabhu. He went to one Gaudiya temple. And the way the pujari was behaving, this was told by Harisauri Prabhu here, he said. So he was surprised. He said, Prabhupada, why like this, you know? Why the pujari is Gaudiya? This is Gaudiya temple, it is ours. So Prabhupada became very grave. Don't be surprised. If you don't maintain standards in our temple, we'll also become like this. So this way, Prabhupada, of course, many several places about deity worship, how he was telling the pujaris, he called the pujaris. He told them that if you don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if you don't regularly cultivate knowledge, you will think that these deities are like a burden. You have to worship them. What is this? You know, Prabhupada has left behind. So there is a danger that the influences of Kali Yuga always attacks and it becomes very difficult to follow. The more the Kali Yuga progresses, the more difficult it is going to become. It is not going to be easy. Anyway, it is very appropriate for me to just speak few things about today happens to be Raghunandan Thakur's disappearance day. So when I deity worship, of course those who are not familiar, Raghunandan Thakur in our sampradaya, a very saintly person. He was son of Mukunda Das. Of course Mukunda was a physician, was a doctor. So very devoted family. And this boy was told by his father, because father had to go to attend some call. So he told his young boy, Raghunandan, today you offer the bhoga to Gopinath. The deities were Gopinath. And he told him, but see that they eat them. So Raghunandan, as small boy, well, today I will do the offering. So he took the plate and he did the offering. And he is waiting. The Lord is not eating. He's an innocent boy. So he started insisting, why are you not eating? There was no response. He started really crying. Then I kept bhoga. My father told me that, see that they eat. But you're not eating. Seeing the innocence, that spirit, the Lord accepted it. And the plate was empty. And he brought the empty plate to his mother. So mother was shocked. But then she thought, maybe he has eaten it. A small child. Or maybe some animals must have come and taken it. How can the plate be empty? So she forgot. But then Mukunda Das came back home and he asked for prasad. So his wife said, there is no prasad because after Raghunandan offered, then the plate was empty. I don't know. So he became a little suspicious. Maybe he could have also taught this. So he told Raghunandan that what happened? You offered the bhoga? Yeah, the Lord ate. The Lord ate? Yeah, you told me he should eat and die, and he ate. He could not believe it. Okay, can you do the offering again? So I said, yes, I will do it. So he gave him a ladu. This time, of course, just one ladu. And told Raghunandan, go and do the offering. And Mukunda, his father, wanted to watch hidingly from behind what is happening. And to his shock, Mukunda's shock, the deity picked up the ladu and just ate half of it and kept it back. Why ate half of it? Because just a few hours back he had a full meal. So he was full, he just wanted to. So this was this, when Mukunda saw this, my God, he came and hugged his son and he really offered obeisances in his heart. And much, much, much later, when in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, when both of them were together, Mukunda, who is the father? You the father or he the father? So Mukunda was, so he said, my Lord, he is my father. Because he is the one who told me what is really bhakti. So whoever gives us bhakti, obviously he becomes our father. Who gives us bhakti? So in this case, the son gave bhakti. So he said, he is my father. So this is the spirit, that how it is, the attitude, the spirit, the mood, the consciousness, the quality of consciousness. So all this, of course, comes through proper chanting, because chanting the holy name has all the power to enter our heart and remove all type of misconceptions. And that's the only thing we have, hope. Today also happens to be Bamsi Vadan Thakur. And the names are different. I hope I'm talking about the same person. There is only one, right? Bamsi Das Baba. Somebody says Bamsi Vadan. It's the same. Bamsi. Or is it the same who was taking care of Vishnu Priya's? No? So, but the names are different. Somewhere it is said he's Bamsi Das. He's also called Bamsi Vadan. So my understanding as he was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, he was a small boy, but then appointed as a servant to Vishnu Priya. Oh, this is recent. So I don't know. You can. There is nothing much I know about. I just 2-3 lines that it seems he is an incarnation of the flute, and he has composed a lot of poems and a lot of other literatures out of devotion from his heart, poured it out. But well known for, he is the one who took care of those deities after he was a servant to Vishnu Priya in that Vira Bhav when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. So he was also like a servant. He took care of the deities. And after that, he carried the deity to the current where we are now, that Navadvip. So he is also, he was a small child when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very active in his lila in Navadvip. But then, so these two exalted personalities, whoever, all are exalted. So this Matsya incarnation came to protect. As it is said, you put the seeds and the herbs and the effulgence, he said. This is a very nice word which was very appealing to me. I heard this. What is said? Yeah. This, thereafter, O king, you shall collect all types of herbs and seeds and load them on that great boat. Then accompanied by 7 rishis and surrounded by all kinds of living entities, you shall get aboard that boat, and without moroseness, you shall easily travel with your companions on the ocean of inundation, the only illumination being the effulgence of the great rishis. This is transcendental knowledge. Yesterday, I had a wonderful experience. This was something very amazing, very much appropriate to be spoken. I could not resist to speak. Like how, I know people may talk about so many things. If we say, people say, maybe we are talking out of pride. Actually, ISKCON is the only organization really doing preaching. Sitting here, if I speak, people, the Hindu, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad and all, they may not accept what are you talking about. But that's the truth. The way the book distribution is done, the way yesterday I witnessed one event, it's amazing. Yesterday, by some will of providence, I happened to be in JJ Hospital. Janmashtami was celebrated. Those who witnessed only will understand. It was something out of this world experience. More than 900 medical students. Just imagine, medical students, how arrogant and proud and how puffed up, because the cream of the society, we are something, different. That CET entrance and getting selected admission. boys and girls, young boys, such active participation, the way they are decorated, the way they are organized, the way they used to receive people, and the way it was an official program. The way, of course, the Abhishek took place, the way Gaurang Prabhu mesmerized them. You don't know, in the class there were several times, clap. Just clapping, class going on, and they're clapping. You know how joyful they were, so happy they were. Just imagine, I'm in a modern day, you know, some type of an alternative lifestyle which can make people happy. There is. Only thing, you just be connected. Otherwise, there are so many other avenues, so many, and what to speak about. Drinking alcohol has become so common among college students. It is considered as a soft drink. I'm talking about girls. Girls talking about that. Oh, well, I tried this. Now I tried. I'm just trying it. That, it's common. It is something respected if you don't do it. It was a little shocking to me because it was not like that. But same thing I'm telling you, it's in the campus there also. But yesterday what I noticed, and they were so happy. I don't think they need to. So, I'm sure great effort by all Gaurang Prabhu and his team, Brahmacharis and the organizers. And Purushottam Prabhu, of course, I know he's been regularly going. Why I'm speaking is because I'm from that college. So, it was some special feeling when I entered the campus and I'm seeing what is going on. This is the 14th Janmashtami celebrated in Grand Medical College. 14th year. Have you heard like this anywhere? Any university, any college, where there is a 14th year of in the campus and official, just secretary. I saw the decoration in the common room. Then I asked that, this is all done by the students. There's a students association group. They did it. And you saw the decoration? You can't believe it. We had program in the past, you know. Maybe some simple altar you make and, you know, it's aarti and, you know, kirtan and maybe 2 hours program and over. Janmashtami is over. This was started at 6 and it went on till 10. 4 hours program. So, ISKCON is protecting. So, I'm sure there is hopes for the youth. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.